All right. So let's give a big hand for the band. Very, very gracious and kind of them to come, and we're in this very tight quarters. Let's give another hand for the band. So Divya asked me to speak on the subject of ego. So I will try my best to get this concept down once and for all. So before I begin, I must become empowered. I become empowered by first remembering the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namani. His name, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtyakya Deshatarane. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pracharane. He has come with a mission. His mission is to destroy the two most dangerous philosophies, Mayavad impersonalism and voidist Buddhism. These are the two most dangerous philosophies because they destroy God consciousness, love of God. He is the servant of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and on the order of his spiritual master, he spread this message of pure Krishna consciousness, the pure message of Bhagavad Gita, all over the world. As was predicted, that someone would come and take the message of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and take it out of India and transplant it. Here we are in Santiago, Chile. We have local Chilenas. Is that correct? Chilenas? We have Indians, Sindhis. And we have gringo. So we are here together because we all agree that the goal of life is spiritual advancement. At least I think we all agree that the goal of life is spiritual advancement. Maybe not. But by the end of my talk, I want to convince anyone that it is. So, next I take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose appearance day was just on Thursday. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vas Adi Gaura Bhaktamrinda. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna coming to give everyone the sublime method of chanting the holy name of God so that they can achieve the perfection of religion. The perfection of religion is not a bigger house. The perfection of religion is not that you become more wealthy. The perfection of religion is not that now I have 5 properties and by religion I will get 10 properties. No, that's not the perfection of religion. And the perfection of religion is not that I will become famous. Oh, everybody knows me. No. And the perfection of religion is not that I have one wife, she's okay, but now I want 10. I want one in China, I want one in India, no. This is not the perfection of religion. The perfection of religion is love of God. And I always like to quote my dearmost Lord Christ. Love God. How much? With your whole soul, your whole heart, your whole mind, and love your neighbor as you would yourself. That's a hard one. especially for a business. A businessman cannot love another businessman. Another businessman is his enemy. But if you're a true follower of Christ, you have to love your competition. Still, you have to beat him, but you can't hate him. You have to love him. That's another talk for another time. Then I take shelter of the Lord in my heart, Sri Krishna Bhagavan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And finally, I take the dust of the feet of all the devotees here. You please bless me that I can say something with authority. Will you bless me? Will you give me the dust of your feet? No one's going to give me? Can you relay say Hari Bol?
Hari Bol.
All right, very good. So, ego. I believe it's a Greek or Latin word. So let's start from the bottom and work the way up. Usually, in the material world, we say somebody, oh, he has too much ego. Meaning, what you really are trying to say, oh, he or she has too much ego. What it means is, that person is trying to dominate or control or exert their influence over somebody else more than what is required. That's how most people think ego. Or else we say someone has a lot of ego because they're very proud. And they like to walk into the room and have everyone notice them. And they want everyone to say, oh, even though they're 800 pounds, you lost so much weight. Ego means I want to be seen as being superior to others. So this is in the general sense, common sense, ego. Now we come to philosophy. Ego means identity. According to the Bhagavad Gita, how many here accept Bhagavad Gita as authority? How many don't accept? Good. So if we all accept Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I have an ego, Krishna says. Krishna has an ego. He's God. He says, never was there a time when my ego did not exist. And he says, Arjuna, you also have an ego. And you've also always existed. And he told Arjuna, all the kings here, millions of kings and warriors, they also have an ego. Eternally, not temporarily. They've had one in the past. They have one now. And they will always have one. So you might as well get used to the fact that you will always have an ego. Meaning, you will always exist. If something doesn't exist, it can't have an ego. But if you exist, you have an ego. Now the question becomes, what kind of ego do you want? That's a different, or as we say, that's a horse of a different color. There are different kinds of egos. Like I said the same time last week, there is real ego and there is false ego. Let's go into false ego in a little more detail. False ego comes in three flavors. False ego under the influence of ignorance, darkness. False ego under the influence of the mode of passion. And there's also false ego in the mode of goodness. Now, someone who has false ego in the mode of goodness identifies that I am Brahman. I am Pandit. Someone with false ego in the mode of passion, I am Donald Trump. You all know who is Donald Trump? He's on TV. You know who is Donald, right? Or I am, who is the president here? Piñera? Piñera. I am El Presidente Piñera. That's false ego in the mode of passion. Now, let's talk about real ego. Real ego may be difficult to accept. Real ego means I'm nothing more, I'm nothing less than the insignificant eternal servant of God. God has unlimited servants. I am one of those insignificant. If you can embrace that, if you can accept that and be happy with that and contented, you are on one level self-realized. Why do I say that? Let's go to Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Somebody who has pure ego identifies Brahma Bhuta. Brahma Bhuta means I'm spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna as his servant. By that acceptance, prasanna, I'm jolly. I'm happy. Why? Na sochati, na kankshati. Because in this material world, I don't hanker and I don't lament. I'm not going to name any names, but this week, some people have indicated, no more Maya. Prabhu, I am no more Maya. That means, na sochati, na kankshati. I'm not going to hanker for the next wife, the next property, the next whatever. I'm not going to care about it. And if I lose, if things are taken away, I'm not going to lament. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu. And because of these, I see everyone equally. Because you're not man, you're not woman, you're not black, you're not white. No, you also are only the eternal servant of God. We're all together. Nobody's bigger. We're all, as I was saying the other day, I forget which class, Achyuta Gotra, the family of God. So we're all here in the family of God. We're all the same. So, everybody, group hug. We're all together. Hari Bol. Then the last line. Mad bhaktim labate param. If you can achieve these things that I just said, then you are eligible to return to the kingdom of God. As I say many times, the price to enter the kingdom of God is simply that you really want to go. There's an example. The gorilla. They capture the gorilla. They have a pot. In the pot are nuts. The gorilla has a very fat hand. But they make the pot big enough so the gorilla can put his hand in, grab the nuts. But As long as he's holding onto the nuts, he can't get his hand out of the jar. How will he get free from the jar? Let go of the nuts. Because once you make a fist, if he lets go, that we are like that gorilla. If we want to go to the kingdom of God, we have to leave this world and all its nuts. Leave all the attractions and allurements and say, adios, goodbye. Then you can go to the kingdom of God. But as my spiritual master used to say, if you still are holding on to that last rasgulla or jalebi or whatever you like to eat, then, all right, you have to come back, take birth again. You have to say goodbye to everything. You have to become free from all attachments, positive and negative. You all know the story of Bharat, how he was this close to perfection, but he became attached to a deer. And because of that, okay, one birth as a deer. So, we have to become free from all attachments to this world. Then you can truly say, I want to go to the kingdom of God. Some people want both. Can't have it. One or the other. That's the price. Do you want the dream or do you want the reality? Do you want the toy or the real thing? The real thing is kingdom of God. Santiago, Los Angeles, dream, toy. Another example. You go walking down the street and you will see, especially where I live, there's a street, Rodeo Drive, in Beverly Hills. They have clothes there and all the big movie stars for one scarf will pay $500. You know, in India you can get a scarf for how many rupees? But they will buy this scarf $500. Bottle of perfume $10,000. Now you go in these shops, they have what looks like very beautiful women dressed. But what is it? It's a doll. It's a mannequin. Right? Some of them look so attractive. So will you buy I'll marry that one. Give me that mannequin. No, you want real woman. The mannequin looks good. Can look so good. But it's not the real thing. This material world and all of its allurements are just one mannequin or one doll after another. It's not the real thing. The real thing is in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. And it's your choice. Or shall we say, it's your use or misuse of ego that determines where you go. You're a person. And guess what? You have to make a choice every day, every minute. That's what it means to live. If you want to live, then that means at every moment you're making a choice. Should I eat this? Should I eat this? Should I eat more? Should I eat less? Should, ladies, you all know, young girls, should I wear this or should I wear this? Should I wear the pink shoes or the blue shoes? As husbands, we know you can't win. How do I look? Oh, you look fantastic. Why are you lying? Then if you said the truth, actually you look fat. What? You can't win. I have the same problem with my daughter. She'll ask me some question. I can't win either way. They have to ask the same question 10 times and you got to figure it out. What does she really want me to say? So at every moment, we are beset with question. That's what this life is. It's one question after another, one test after another. So the ultimate question, the ultimate test is, do I want to remain in this material world and come back again and again? Or am I ready to make that leap of faith and strive for the kingdom of God? Me, I made that decision in 1973, before some of you were born. I made that decision. Was I going to pursue this music career? I said no. I've been trying to do it for 5-6 years. I can see I'm not getting anywhere. Better I give this life to Krishna and Guru. That's what I did. And as I've said thousands of times, that was the best decision I ever made in my life. And it's because of that decision I'm sitting here. But it's a question each and every one of us has to ask ourselves moment to moment. Do I want illusion? Do I want Maya? At every second, we're being asked that question in our lives. And here's the thing. How you decide creates a future. Every decision we make creates a future. As we say in America, you make your bed, you lie in it. So, therefore, to help us make the right decisions, you need 3 helpers. Your guru, a sadhu, and the shastra, the scriptures. You all accepted Bhagavad Gita, yes? So before making a big decision, consult Bhagavad Gita. Consult your guru and consult other spiritual persons so that you're always making the correct choice, the right decision. Because if you don't make the right decision, you are going to become more and more entangled. And sometimes we get so entangled, it's very difficult to get out. But, and I've been in that situation. I have been many times, by misuse of ego, I have found myself in hell. I have found myself, I woke up one day, oh my God, I'm in Maya! But nobody could hear me. And I didn't know what to do. But, by some good chance, I did remember, take out those beads and start chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And I did that and didn't take long, as if like magic. I was no longer in hell, I was back in heaven. Always, always, always take shelter of this Hare Krishna mantra. Last night, you heard the story of a Jamil. He was about to go to hell, the real hell. But because he said, what was the name? Everyone. Narayan. Now, say it like as if you were about to go to hell.
Narayan.
Yeah, I think so. Not Narayan. If you were about to go to hell, you would be Narayan with some real force and attention. So remember that. It's never too late. You may think it's too late. I'm too much in Maya. No. There's never enough Maya that can counteract a really strong chanting and call out to Krishna. I have personal experience of this so many times. So many times. Please take it. How many of you believe in me? So my order to you is, when you come to that point, when you think there's nowhere to turn, call out to Krishna. You will see. You will see how Krishna will save you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.